I mean, you're the soccer man.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all soccer people.
This is Roots Pod.
Is it wide to Hanya? There's options going forward as well. It's a cross in to Bennett, and he picks out the back of the net. Well, that one's out of open play, and it's 1-0 to the Switchbacks.
Oakland Roots 0, Colorado Springs Switchbacks 1. They did their best to make a liar out of me. I promised on the last episode that we would for sure record something discussing this match because I figured it would be slightly more interesting than whatever that was. But we're gonna muddle through it here on the pod. This is Aaron. Of course, I have John and Peter with me in the virtual studio. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about the Roots upcoming USL Cup match against Las Vegas Lights and then their next league match against Miami FC. But overall, I think we're just going to take some stock of where the Roots are roughly one third of the way through the season. So the only thing of note, I'd say there's two things of note in this match. In terms of setting the stage, went down as a Michael Edwards own goal in the fifth minute for the Colorado Springs Switchbacks. I mean, it was right in front of me. It was out of nothing. It was a very whatever goal. It was a good move by Colorado Springs. And they had actually several good moves over the course of the match. Not many of them, to be honest. I think the Roots did a pretty good job of controlling the Colorado Springs attack. But in this instance, they did get down the pitch, down the right side of the pitch, which would become a theme, and I think we'll have to get into that. And centered a ball, and it ended up in the back of the net. And it turns out that was all she wrote, because really the other thing maybe you want to note about this match is that the Roots had no shots on target. And I'm struggling to recall a game in which you would even investigate whether the Roots had no shots on target. That was pretty anemic on the Roots' part. Lots of things had to go wrong to get us there, I think. Or maybe it was just one or two things went horribly wrong and nothing else really mattered. I will say Luis warned us. He did tell us on the last episode that Colorado Springs, if you looked under the hood, they seemed to be better than their record. That is what I saw on the pitch in front of my face, that this was not a team that should have been outside the playoff spots. I don't know what mix of things, what the circumstances were that led to Colorado Springs' slow start. I don't, after watching that match, I don't really expect that to continue. I think they're a very good team. Their midfield in particular, I think, probably better handled the Roots midfield than any squad we've seen. So the first team squad, at least, seen so far. And they had a couple of really interesting little sets that they ran off of set pieces, off of corners, didn't turn into anything, but they got themselves into dangerous situations. And it's the kind of thing you sort of imagine over the course of the season is going to pan out well for Colorado Springs. Really difficult come down, frankly, after that exciting match against Orange County. And it's, I think, that match against Orange County stings a little bit more now, having gotten no points out of that after watching that performance. I mean, it really felt like the Coliseum as a whole never woke up, and that might have been, honestly, that might have been a Bay Area-wide thing. I was at the Golden State game, the Valkyries game, the next day, and that crowd was also a lot less feral than they usually are. So maybe we were all of our hardcore fans were just taking a break last weekend, and we can chalk it up to that, but we have, we've locked ourselves into talking. Well, we haven't locked. We've locked ourselves into this format here. So let's talk a little bit about the soccer. For me, I think the first thing that I want to talk about is that Colorado Springs, they didn't have too many ideas in attack, but they didn't need them because they had one that seemed to really give the Roots a lot of trouble, which was send the ball into the space between De Vicente and Hackshaw. And De Vicente was pretty regularly getting forward, and there's a lot of space there. And, you know, it's hard to say that it was exploited, since there was only one goal. And in fact, I think on the blog, Luis said he thought that Hackshaw performed very, very well. But it still gives you a clue to what other teams are looking at right now when they look at the Oakland roots. And that's the soft spot. And it's starting to feel a little bit like we have a really good team with a poorly placed exhaust port, honestly. And that's where it is, right back there. So is the solution, John, is the solution just wait for this team to get healthy? I mean, you know, injuries, it's hard to know exactly how much injuries affect a team, but I think we almost always underestimate it a little bit when your first choice at any position is not available. It matters. Is the answer just that, or actually, am I overthinking this? Like, come on, the Roots gave up an own goal over the course of the match, and you know, the defense performed well. What am I complaining about? I mean, where do you fall in the spectrum?
You know, that's a complex question. You know, it's to me, it feels like, you know, there are still signs of a system coming together. You know, we're still not halfway through the season. It is still a new install. You know, there's going to be some hiccups along the way. You know, like you said, you know, it felt like kind of an anomaly. No shots on target. This team has been, you know, putting up really good numbers in both departments, shots and shots on target, all season. And they just really couldn't figure it out. It kind of reminded me of the Sacramento Cup match where just, you know, Sacramento had a good plan and seemed to hit him. I mean, that's kind of happened in the last few games too. I think the Orange County, I think of the bad goal where Spiegel tries to play out, like that was a very much a Danny Stone goal where he was yelling his players to pressed Michael Edwards into a mistake. And you know, sometimes these moments are going to happen when you're still learning a system. There are signs of growing pains. You know, this team hasn't had a clean sheet since the season opener. The last four games in a row, they've given up a goal in the first 10 minutes, five in total. So there are signs that where it's like, okay, you know, they are still learning. The install is still going on. And there are moments where it's like, oh, this is, we can see glimpses of getting towards the full potential of what it could look like in these moments and in some of these games. While, you know, I wouldn't say it's time to get worried. I wouldn't echo some of the people's thoughts on Reddit saying, oh, the nosedive is coming early this year. I think, hey, let's relax. But I think there are signs of a team that is still learning and still working out the kinks, so to speak. So I think, you know, it was always going to take time with Ryan Martin, a very high possessive system. There is going to be that building phase. We're kind of still in the middle of that building phase, still high up the table. So kind of a give and take there, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that I wonder how much this game is an overcorrection from the Orange County game. Like, the Orange County game was so frenetic and so back and forth, and in an attempt to try to lock down those mistakes, the Roots turned in a pretty boring performance, where a boring risk-averse performance where they conceded one goal. And of course, that's all Colorado needed. You know, I mean, I'm not accusing them of like sitting back, but they got their goal and it was incumbent on the Roots to make something happen. It just didn't feel like the Roots had that in them last week. I certainly am not buying any kind of nosedive interpretation of this, but I do wonder, you know, it's like, if you made me say like what I think is the sort of pessimistic outlook here, is it's like, I think a reasonable pessimistic outlook here is the Roots have fallen from top four team to fifth to eighth. they're not playing like a team that's going to miss the playoffs. They're playing like a team that isn't hitting the lofty goals that we thought they were going to hit 6 weeks in. And I'm not even saying that's my interpretation. I mean, I think that this is, I would still interpret this as like a hiccup. We've celebrated that Martin seems to have a ton of options in these like front six positions, but he doesn't seem to have the combination, you know, like it looks like it's going to have, like, it looks like that group's going to have McCabe and Wilson, and every other position in that front six is currently a little unsettled. And I think that that creates problems for a manager, you know, because you get one bad result and like, how much do you tinker with this? And did he overcorrect, you know, not even just the players, he tried to change things up. And it's like, well, we looked a lot better in the frenetic game against Orange County where we lost some coin flips than we did in the Colorado Springs game. So I don't know. I mean, I'm maybe managing expectations some, but I mean, the good thing about the way the league is going right now is everyone is dropping points. We are, you know, in some ways our worst form of the season over the last like 3 weeks. And what, we're in a better position than we started week one? You know, I mean, I guess not in that sense. We were like tied for first, but if we didn't think we were likely to end up first and the ceiling, you know, our goal was like third, we're in a better position for that than we were week one. We've taken important points off of good teams. I think that there is a top four team in the Oakland Roots clubhouse, and it's just, you know, and I think that Martin can get that out of them. You know, we've also, I think that there's still the possibility that the Roots make some moves, and that moves could have some significant impact on how this team plays. An outside back, a center back, or a goalkeeper, you know, if they go out and get someone they want instead of trying to like patch a hole, I think that there is real room for improvement. So, and the Roots have made additions every season, pretty much. I mean, some of them haven't really panned out. Sometimes it feels like what they're trying to do is roll the dice and get like a, you know, an undervalued gem. And I don't know if that's what they would. But you know, every year they have made some additions. So anyway, I don't know. I mean, I'm optimistic. That game was, every bit of that game that I watched was boring. But to be fair, I watched about 7 minutes.
Well, that's how long it took you to get bored.
Well, that's how long it took my 2-year-old to get bored.
It took him a lot.
And then I chased him around the Coliseum for 83 minutes.
And Peter actually showed up to get his steps in on Saturday. Yeah, it was extremely boring, but I do have a hard time seeing how this is indicative of a collapse of any kind, since we're just a week away from one of the better performances they could have put together and still lost. I understand the sentiment. We're all, I feel like all the rabid fandom is, we're just waiting for that other shoe to drop. But it does feel a lot like the Roots are probably weathering. They're in the middle of weathering the storm that this season will present to them, in the form of half the original starting 11 getting injured. And I think that is, I mean, excuse me, John, to your point about the, you know, the system install, it's pretty hard to do while the active roster is in all kinds of flux. So I feel like we have to have some grace for this team. They are still doing well. It's not, I think, we have expressed that it really feels like their record doesn't reflect the quality of the performances, but they're still sitting in fourth place by virtue of some bizarre USL championship tiebreaker, but they are in fourth place. No one's running away with the West right now. They are also very close to dropping out of the playoffs, but they're in a fine position. But all that said, let's talk about the other side of the coin here. I thought it was interesting a few weeks ago. We've been watching this team give up a lot of goals. And we had a discussion about whether what actually needs to change is the attack. And you know, I think there were some caveats there that, like, insofar as the defense has been hit hard by injuries, like, the attack has to pick up the slack, right? You can't expect a bunch of clean sheets out of a defense that is, it's not able to put its best foot forward on a regular basis right now. Although I do say, actually, before we move off that topic, it's been 4 league games in a row that the Roots have surrendered in the first 10 minutes. I mean, I don't think that's about the defense. I think that's just not waking up. And the only solution there is to just, like, I don't know, start your warm up 15 minutes earlier. You know, this is not a system thing. This is a, hey, pay attention from, you know, the word go here. That is easily solved, I think. But to the attack, no shots on target. I mean, what was that? You know, I sort of hinted at it in my ramble there in the opening. I don't think our midfield looked very good. You know, Colorado Springs shut them down in a way we haven't really seen. You know, and it's not, they weren't able to play through. They weren't able to play over the top. The Roots have been getting by with a pretty defensive midfield so far this year, and it just totally bit them in the ass in this match. But, you know, no one was getting on the other end of the ball. It's not like no one tried to play long balls. No one was there on the other end. And it was really frustrating to watch outside of a 5 to 10 minute period about 2/3 of the way through the first half when the Roots, I mean, in hindsight, actually in present sight, you could probably say the Roots probably should have used that stretch to score. But in hindsight, obviously they needed a goal there. But I mean, do we chalk this up, John, as just a one-off? Like, Colorado Springs, they had a good plan. The Roots, we don't expect that to repeat because we haven't seen anything like that. But man, what was that?
Oh, I don't know whether to chalk this game off. I mean, when you lose a few matches in a row here, cup included, I think it's, you know, it's like, all right, guys, it's time to, you know, get it together. You know, I don't think you could chalk anything off right now. You know, losing 3-2 to Orange County with some bad goals allowed, you know, I don't think you could chalk that up either. I think it's saying, all right, you know, like, we've got to get it together, you know, goals in the first 5 minutes, losing the teams that we probably should beat, you know, have a better performance against. So yeah, I don't think you chalk it off, but yeah, there are some questions to be had, like the midfield. I think it's interesting that Tyler Gibson has moved into the midfield, and we still have to ask about Bobosi. We haven't been able to ask about Bobosi. There's no one there to talk to Martin after the last game. But he hasn't, you know, he sat on the bench this whole game. He sat on the bench the last game too. So I'm curious, because he did leave his previous appearance after picking up a knock, but you know, he's been on the subs list and hasn't gotten on the field. Florian Vallot came in at halftime for Gibson and yeah, moved into that midfield. You know, I'm curious about the rotation. You know, what McCabe has played almost every minute this year. So he seems like the only guy that Martin really trusts out there. So
McCabe and Edwards are the only two that are ever present.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't come off the field. So, you know, the midfield has been a peculiar one to crop up now, because for those first number of matches, we were like, oh, McCabe, Bobosi, that might be the best midfield duo in the league. And right now it's kind of a question mark, and it quickly came up.
The only two people I've ever known who regularly used the word peculiar were John and my grandmother, who would be turning 117 this year.
Hell yeah.
Which honestly, I guess I actually kind of mean as a compliment, which appears to be how you're taking it, because my grandmother is fucking awesome.
Yeah, does she have any other words we need to make sure get worked back into regular usage?
She really liked to call my friends in high school queer.
Okay, probably not that one.
As you can imagine, we all found extremely funny.
I don't think we're working that back into circulation, but I, you know, tangentially.
oh, how could what you say next be tangential to that?
So, I was watching the WNBA. I know Dallas Wings were playing somebody, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you better call that tangential.
I'm curious about where this is going.
Well, so Dallas features Paige Beckers and AZ Fudd, who I think are pretty famously in a relationship. And we happen to be watching the Dallas local broadcast, who had a little like heartwarming segment on the two of them, which very deliberately called them close friends. And I was like, wow. I mean, it's Texas, but like we're talking about WNBA fans, and
it's going to call them confirmed bachelorettes.
That's right. They're just they're roommates. They're roommates. Yeah. So there's no other words that we need to bring back. Sounds like Peter's actually he said his entire piece about the match between Oakland and Colorado Springs.
I've moved on.
You didn't have anything to add to that. You
just wanted to tell us that his 117-year-old grandmother had some questionable views on gender and sexuality.
No, to be clear, she well, I mean, she might have. That is not in any way how she was using that term. No, I think we've already given this match as much commentary as it deserves.
Okay, so Peter's taking the attitude, one off. Can't possibly matter. We know they're better. Don't even worry about it. Sounds like John is a little bit more on the, this is a relevant data point and it is not a good one. Is that right? Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm more on that side of things just because they seem to keep piling up. But I think it's also just worth keeping in mind that like they're still right now in line to host a playoff game. And no one in the Western Conference seems to want to go and run away with things. Now, I did say that many times last year, like eighth place is not that far out of reach. Like, you know, they just have to put together a few results and like it never happened. So, you know, in addition to the fact that we have witnessed, what, three straight seasons with catastrophic collapses, you know, that's a lot of history we're working against here. But it does appear to be the best Oakland Roots side we've seen put out there. And, you know, just got to believe, you know.
There's no cost to believing.
Yeah.
You've been watching Ted Lasso.
No, I've been watching the WNBA. I think I discussed that.
I've been watching a different program on Apple TV called Widow's Bay.
I have been too.
I got to tell you guys, that show fucking whips.
It's great, dude. It's great. We'll talk more after the episode.
Oh, no, I have significant notes about talking about it on this episode. Episode 4, I'm going to say, is like a top 20 episode of TV for me all time. Just wow. Absolutely. And I was trying to put together a list of what my other top episodes of TV are. I came up with The Constant from Lost, the season one finale of Dark, the Arrested Development episode with the Japanese investors in the mole costume, Homer at the Bat, honorable mention, obviously, to the Cape Fear episode where he sings Pinafore, and Marge versus the Monorail. The Twin Peaks pilot, the Lost Bigfoot episode, sorry, the Psych Bigfoot episode, and episode one of Fleabag. So that's a quick rundown of what might be my other favorite episodes of television. I will. I mean, what does say is scary. I mean, it gets listed as horror comedy. It also gets compared favorably to Twin Peaks, and it is significantly scarier than Twin Peaks. But I'm a total baby, and I've gotten through four episodes.
If you like Twin Peaks, you should watch Atlanta. Have you watched Atlanta?
I have not. No.
Oh, you would love it, dude. You would love it. That's on your next watch list.
And I guess while we're on the topic of things that are soft as babies, Paris Saint-Germain, absolutely soft as fucking babies. Did you guys
think, have you seen that the subreddit r/ soccer circle jerk has every hour on the hour since it happened posted the video of Gabriel skying the final penalty?
No, Reddit understands what that would do to me psychologically, and it has chosen to spare that. What I saw is that in the hours following that game, Gabriel's jersey sales went off the fucking charts because Arsenal fans are, I mean, like, yeah, that's one of the most painful moments in the history of the club, but also, like, that dude is a hero. But in some ways, my favorite part of that game is that at 120 minutes, PSG fucking quit. They played half as many minutes this season as Arsenal played. Like, their starters played half as many competitive minutes as Arsenal starters played. And 110 minutes, they're like, fuck it, we can't really score against this defense. And they just stopped. They just passed the ball back and forth in midfield and were like, we can probably beat them on penalties. And fair play, they did. But it was like, that game could have gone another 120 minutes. They wouldn't score on Arsenal's defense. And it's really is very frustrating as an Arsenal fan to see the whole rest of the world apparently hate us. And a whole lot of really questionable terms used to describe Arsenal's football. But, like, on the other hand, it was a legit penalty. Like, they deserved the penalty. Our whatever 20-year-old backup center back who was deputized at right back, like, made a bad tackle. And that was a penalty. Fair enough. I genuinely think that game could have gone another 120 minutes and PSG wouldn't have scored. It just felt like they were never actually going to do it. But
would Arsenal have scored in the other 120 minutes?
I mean, so probably not.
Okay.
The whole game was so weird, right? Because, I mean, I think that PSG were going to control possession.
As a general matter, Champions League finals are always kind of weird.
Yeah, and I think that Arsenal were in their heads in a way that PSG didn't even have to be, right, as defending champions. But, like, also, I don't think Arsenal in a million years expected to score in the fifth minute. And I think that a game that probably would have been 60-40 possession to PSG was 80-20 because Arsenal were defending a lead from the fifth minute. I don't think Kai Havertz thought he could score that goal.
So what's happening here is that Peter noticed that I shut the last podcast down seconds, mere seconds before he began pontificating on the Arsenal and, has seized the opportunity, seized the opening here.
The problem, the last episode, Arsenal were Premier League champions, and I don't think I do good podcasts when I'm reveling in victory. I need the anger. It gives me the edge.
Yeah, who was it? Somebody. I feel like someone whose takes on sports I respect made the point that.
So not me or John.
Well, not you.
Was it Luis?
No. So sports fandom is about being happy that other people are upset rather than cheering on your own team like 75% of the time.
I definitely find that, like, that increases the longer I've watched a sport. Like, at this point, I've essentially abandoned my actual NFL team. I don't even cheer for them anymore, but I still nurture those hatreds. Likewise, I mean, the Nationals got so shitty after they won the World Series that, like, I don't even watch them anymore. And they've started, you know, they have some exciting players now, but I only hear that through social media. I certainly don't watch them. But no, and I can see me trending.
The Dodgers have already bought the title.
And the Dodgers are fun to hate.
Yeah.
for a team with, like, eight players I like in their starting nine, they are a surprisingly hateable team.
Yeah. So I don't know if you heard, but the Roots are going to play in the USL Cup next weekend.
No, I don't think that sounds right.
That's the rumor. largely irrelevant match in this particular instance. The Roots, well, they will play Las Vegas Lights. These are the two squads bringing up the rear in Group One. It's already out of sight here. Sacramento Republic or Athletic Club Boise are going to take the group. It's pretty much, it's all immaterial at this point. So
there's like a part of me, like, obviously there's like an underdog element to supporting Boise for that. I mean, it's absurd, right? Sacramento are obviously going to do it, but like, on the one hand, it would be sort of hilarious if Sacramento screwed it up and instead it went to the team that plays in a city that could all fit in the Coliseum. But like, on the other hand, your average person in Idaho is a white supremacist. And I'm sure that the fans of the USL League One team aren't, you know, they probably skew pretty left, but it's still like, I don't know. All things considered, Sacramento's okay.
In that sense, yeah, I don't have any quarrel with that. I do imagine that the soccer team is a slightly less objectionable institution than the state of Idaho as a whole. But I have no firsthand knowledge. I just have to imagine. I need that to be the case. And actually, those two teams will get to face off the last match day of the group stage. Sacramento travels to Boise, which is nuts. Although I should mention there's a pretty critical week three match between Boise and Spokane Velocity. And if Spokane were to win that, that could set up some interesting scenarios in the final week. But for all intents and purposes, either Sacramento or Boise is going to take the group. The Roots and the Lights, they're not advancing. So this will be an interesting match. The Roots have kind of taken a half in, half out approach to the first couple of matches. Went poorly. And I got to imagine, well, you could do one of two things, right? You could either use this time to experiment, or you could, and by experiment, I mean put different guys on the pitch, let other guys get some minutes, or you could use this time to drill things with the guys who are going to play 90 minutes in league matches. I think that there's no other, and you don't worry about the outcome, right? This is just about the process. This is just about getting reps. I'm honestly not sure which one I'd rather see. I guess the latter at this point, because you do wonder about a tailspin a little bit. You have to have that in the back of your mind, and I think that's just it. You want to get the reps for the first team in conditions where they don't have any material effect on what's going to happen at the end of the season, but I'm open to, John, you arguing that let's just play the kids, see what happens. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, this is a game where if there's anybody I want resting, it's Tommy McCabe. I think it's time to, you know, see if Bobosi's ready. Ollie's got to get minutes. Really vital to get Ollie minutes, honestly. I mean, it's kind of been hard to watch to see this young man, 21, really should be entering those prime years of his career, and he can't see the field. I really feel for him. You know, if he doesn't get minutes here, where else is he going to get minutes? So I definitely want to see those two. Aside from that, yeah, you know, maybe it's a time for maybe Peter Wilson gets the first half, Jackson Keel comes in, or vice versa. Aside from that, yeah, I'm a little, I'm not sure who else goes. Does Wolfgang get minutes? I think he sat the first half last cup match. You know, Velo probably a time to rest. Batash could probably get some time. So I think, I mean, we've seen in these last cut matches, it's a big mix of usually just the fringe starters and the starters. So I think we might get something along those lines again. Yeah, maybe Edwards deserves some minutes too, but I'm not sure who goes in there. Bravo. I guess Hackshaw has to play. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a spot where I would almost be willing to just, I guess, I don't know if we have someone who's like a 5-1-0 fringe player or something that could come in. I feel like Edwards needs a rest. I mean, it doesn't look like he needs a rest, but he's played so many minutes that I think you try to rest him, give him some time off. I would be inclined to rest Prentice just because he plays such a high intensity game that, like, you know, when he's out there for 75 or 90 minutes, I feel like he's sprinting a lot. I give Bobasi the reps because you want to try to get him some confidence again. I think the same thing with Trejo. You want to get Trejo some confidence. This is like an opportunity for him to, you know, maybe go out and score in a game where there isn't much pressure, where he isn't feeling much pressure. I don't know. I don't try to win this game in a meaningful way. But I do think that the team has been, I don't think it has been a high stress period in terms of like regular, you know, there haven't been two game weeks. I always get that wrong. There haven't been two game weeks in a while. So I don't think you have guys who are like in the red, you know, but, you know, you have guys who aren't getting enough minutes. And I think you want to give them the chance. That's what I do. I just looked this up. Everyone who voted in the 2023 Boise mayoral election could fit in the Coliseum if you opened Mount Davis. Just, you know, for some context about the city of Boise.
What was the voter turnout? How big is Boise actually?
I have it at I don't know if that was the metro population. I have it as 235. They're claiming a metro pop of 845. That's absolutely preposterous.
Is that the entire state of Idaho?
Pretty much, yeah. The Idaho population is, that's over 1 million, right? It's 2 million. But yeah, 845 doesn't sound right to me at all.
Maybe we'll have some new Boise facts on our next episode, but I don't really.
You can catch that on the Patreon bonus pod.
That's right. We'll put it on the Patreon because I don't really feel any obligation to get to know Boise any better. Although, if they beat Sacramento, maybe we'll look at their Instagram page for more.
Atletico de Boise.
Okay. In other matches that actually will matter. The week after this cup match, the cup match against Lights, the Roots will host Miami FC. Big opportunity to pick up some points, although Miami not as bad as they have been, which is pretty annoying. In fact, they just beat Louisville City a couple of weeks ago at home in a 4-3 barn burner. It is a result that appears to be a little anomalous, not just because it was Louisville City, but because their other wins are all against teams below the playoff line in the Eastern Conference, in Sporting Jax, Rhode Island FC, and Brooklyn FC. This is not a team that has a win outside the state of Florida at the moment. So as cross country travel, maybe it doesn't agree with them. I don't know. I feel like that's the hope there. I'll be honest, I don't know anything about them. I've exhausted my knowledge about them. They look a little bit better, but I don't expect that this will be too much of a this is not a team you would expect to be competing for the Eastern Conference title or even for the USL Cup, even with the random nature of the USL playoffs. I don't think you're going to see this team there at the end. But the Roots still have to go out there and put the points on the board. That's what it comes down to. I don't know, John, do you have anything to add about Miami FC? Peter, do you have a list of favorite TV episodes set in Miami, perhaps, that you can give us? It's going to be...
I wasn't prepared for that question.
see if you can think about it.
The first episode of Justified, he's in Miami. I don't think it's the best episode of the series.
I feel like
it's a show I've watched with an episode set in Miami.
Your possibilities here are going to be what? They're going to be Miami Vice.
Yeah, which I never watched.
Was movies a part of that?
Dexter.
CSI Miami. Dexter, yeah.
Miami Vice.
We covered that one.
He led with Miami Vice. Yeah.
Are movies not allowed?
Do you have a favorite Miami-based movie?
Scarface.
Tom and Jerry, Spy Quest.
Where is Bad Boys?
Bad Boys is Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Grand Theft Auto, Vice City.
I mean, that counts.
That as a... All right. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, Vice City is Miami. The way that Liberty City is New York and what's it called?
Well, I understand that Vice City is a stand-in for Miami. It was more like it's not a TV show or movie.
Yes.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
if the kids are watching it on YouTube, it's pretty much...
That's right. Yeah, when they watch whoever it is play on their Twitch stream or whatever goes on these days. Oh, God. All right.
Miami, get the win. That's all I know. They're up and down, right? They're up and down. They had some good results, beat Louisville, had some bad results recently. Pittsburgh, who do they play coming up?
It would be who in the cup, right? So let's see. They play...
South Georgia Tormenta.
To be honest, I thought that team folded.
Yeah, they were supposed to fold. Yeah, they were. You're remembering correctly, actually.
That's a shock egg.
This is the sort of Schrodinger...
Oh, upset nature of the episode.
Oh, man. All right, this is unraveling. Let's...
It unraveled as soon as I started talking about Widow's Bay.
Long since gone. All right.
Who's going to know that we mischaracterized the game? Because, like, who's going to watch the highlights?
How hard could it be to watch the highlights? It's going to be like 30 seconds long. The highlight video spend more time on the lineup screens than on what happened in the match against Colorado Springs. All right. Well, anyway, John said it right. It's Miami. Get the win. Let's put an end to this slide. Put an end to the rumblings. It's going to be at the Coliseum. I'm sure it'll be a nice night. I'm sure middle of June. That'll be great.
It'll be sunny the whole game.
What now?
The sun won't set until after the game.
That's likely true. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, there you go. It'll be, get the win. It'll be nice weather. Boom, done. What else could you possibly want?
You guys want to know about the plumber that came to my house on Monday?
I mean, a little bit, actually, but.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We had a plumber come out for a routine inspection on Monday. He ran the water. Like tested the on off on the water leads to the bathroom sink. And after he tested it, the water ran black and then clogged. And he was like, I think I dislodged some sediment. So you may need to clean your aerator something. And he like couldn't figure out how to get the faucet taken apart, which is a little concerning. So anyway, he left and I figured out how to get the faucet taken apart.
Oh, nice. That's got to feel good.
I tested about 13 different Allen wrenches and about 15 different heads to my adjustable screwdriver before I eventually managed to find the screwdriver that worked in my computer repair kit.
Wow.
So I took it apart and I took the cartridge out of the faucet and I like let it steep in vinegar for a while. That doesn't seem to have actually fixed it. Apparently what happens is that the rubber gasket in the lead line. So another plumber came out today, talked to me about this. I really like my plumbing. Notwithstanding the questionable service call on Monday, the people who run the plumbers that I patronize, quite good. Anyway, he was talking to me through this. Apparently the rubber gasket just like disintegrates after 10 years and then pretty much always clogs up your faucet because it's just a bunch of like silicone particulate, rubber or silicone particulate. It's just like obviously can't fit through the filter. So anyway, he was like, apparently replacing this cartridge, which I figured out how to do, costs like $6. So I'm going to try to do that. But also we're going to replace that faucet anyway, because the other gasket is going to go any day now. So anyway, that's my adventure in plumbing.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of shopping for random shit for homes like
that's
that.
That's right.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. John, have you had any run-ins with handymen, men of the trades recently, or women of the trades, handy women? No, nothing for you. Count yourself lucky. It means all your rubber gaskets are still intact. That's good. Anyway, Las Vegas in the cup. Who gives a shit? Miami at home, get the win. Call it a day. Move on with our lives. Let's get out of this little tailspin. There we go. We'll be back after Miami to talk about all of it. And of course, until then, up the roots.